plan for you. He's not going to let you go without. Amen. If we'll just do our part. Are you ready to learn about your part here today? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited about it. Hey, before we even get into the sermon, I'm going to ask our overhead person up there, Chris, if you could bring up Mark 4:24. Again, I brought this up in last night's service in Erie as well. Just kind of a reminder. You know, a reminder what's going on when you sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. How many of you know God's power is in this room? How many of you know Jesus is in this room right now? He said where two or three are gathered in His name, that He would be in the midst, right in the middle of us. And so that means that His abilities are here. There's more than enough of power in this room to save every soul, heal every body, lift every burden, break every addiction, provide every need. Amen. If it can't get done in the corporate anointing or the gathering of God's people, then it's not going to get done at all. And I'll tell you what, but we have to understand our part to the service. And Jesus said this in Mark 4:24, and we're just going to bring this up to start. Jesus speaking, He said to them, "Take heed what you hear," all right, or beware of what you're listening to. With what measure you meet, or the attention that you give to what you're hearing, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear, that means to put it to practice, all right, shall more be given. And so notice this, the ability to have more of God's plan in your life, it's in your hands right now. What measure did you bring, all right? If you bring a bigger measure, that's what God can measure back to you, all right? Think about it. You know, if this is a, how many of you are ready for a lame illustration here, okay? When I was a kid, I remembered, how many of you remember, you know, the old Disney cartoons, Donald Duck, remember Goofy, you know, Pluto, you know, and of course it always begged the question, why was Goofy a dog and Pluto was a dog, but Goofy could talk and Pluto couldn't? Goofy walked around like a person, but he was, anyway, praise the Lord. Yay, the deep things here today. But do you remember, Donald Duck, he had a rich uncle named Scrooge McDuck. And do you remember the cartoons where they showed Scrooge McDuck, like he had a room that was like a swimming pool, except it wasn't filled with water, it was filled with gold coins. Do you remember Scrooge McDuck diving into his gold and swimming around and like he'd spit water, except it was gold coins coming out of his mouth? How many of you remember that? All right, some of you are saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, but most of you do, all right? So anyway, there is a cartoon character named Scrooge McDuck, and his whole theme was that he was just super mega rich, so much that he loved his money that he would dive into a swimming pool of gold and swim around in it, all right? Well, imagine if you were invited into a bank vault or something, or into a collection of a pile of gold coins, and someone said, all right, you have 1 minute to scoop up as many gold coins, and you're allowed to bring one vessel to scoop with. How many of you know if you were going into a bank vault to scoop up as many, you know, gold coins in a minute that you had, you would not bring a teaspoon, all right? You'd look around for the biggest vessel, the biggest container that you could find, because you know that you have one opportunity to go in and scoop up and take home as much as you possibly can. How many of you know with what measure you meet? All right, so you've come in to the house of God where you are going to hear the unsearchable riches of Christ in His Word. And He says, bring a measure. Bring something, whatever it takes to hold on to as much as you possibly can, because this is going to be life and death for you. All right, can you bring it up in the Amplified version? In the Amplified, it gives us a little bit better understanding. He said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. And so to hear means to understand, to put in practice. God has more waiting for you, but it's going to be completely dependent upon the measure of you holding on to the preaching of the Word. If it doesn't matter to you, guess what's going to come back to you? Nothing. All right? But if you take great care, okay, this is it. a pastor's going to be preaching for the next 2 or 3 hours, and so we need to take, did you catch it? We need to take as much home as we possibly can, because the word virtue means power. How much power? How many of you know God has power reserved? It's in store. It's ready to go for you. But if you don't care about the preaching of the word, he cannot bring any of that power to you. All right? So the measure of thought and study, or you could say it this way, attention and care that you give to the truth that you hear, that same measure of virtue and power is going to come back to you. So that's why we don't have dead services here. You know, we don't just say, well, here we are, we're just going to preach a little homily for a few minutes. I'm going to give you 3 points in a poem and send you home. No, we're going to dig into the word and we're going to give great attention. And if you're new here and you hear people, you know, you see people taking notes, you hear people responding, you hear, you know, people getting excited about the word, that's just giving attention. All right. How many of you know God doesn't want, you know, when he meets with somebody, he doesn't want them to be a bump on a log. You know, he wants them to be excited about him. And so let's be excited about him. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Turn your word in your Bibles. Turn over to the book of Romans, and we're going to go to chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I am going to call this message today, the power is in the spoken word of faith. Amen. The power is in the spoken word of faith. If you've been around this church for any length of time, you've heard similar messages to this. Okay, but just because you've heard it before doesn't mean you turn it off. All right. I'll tell you what, we need to get back to these foundational principles that God teaches us out of his word if we're going to walk in the power and victory that he has for us. And I'm just going to end the suspense right off the top of the service. Your life will go no further than the words that you speak out of your mouth. If you've been talking down, I can guarantee you, you're living down. All right, if you're talking small, you're living small, you know. If you're talking with doubt and negativity, you're surrounded by it. Because your words are simply this. Your words are your future, all right? I know they said that the kids are our future. Lame joke, right? But we know the words that we speak is the future of our lives. All right, and if you are not speaking in line with God's word, he cannot override your words and barge into your life. All right, and so we're going to talk about the power that's in the spoken word of faith. So let's go to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 8, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read all the way down to verse 15, and then we're going to go back and we're going to teach verse by verse. If you want to learn the word and how to walk in God's best for you, you will get a hold of this. You'll get a hold of this. Hey, I wasn't planning on going here either, but real quickly, Chris, could you put up 1 Peter 3:10? And again, just another verse that just kind of stirs in my heart. Wasn't planning on preaching it, but just to kind of stir you up here before we go, this is what Peter said. He said, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. Let him hold back his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." All right? Guile was a foul-smelling substance. All right? You could say it was putrid. It was poison. And he said, if you want to love life and see good days, hold back your mouth. How about that? How many of you know God wants you to love life? The ability to love life is with you right now because you have a mouth to speak, you have an ear to hear, and you have a heart beating in your chest. And so God has good days for you. He wants you to love life. But if you're not loving life, I can tell you why. It's because it begins with speaking and speaking right and speaking in agreement with the Word of God. All right, so we're in Romans 10. Let's start in verse 8. And now in context, Paul starts chapter 10 about talking about his desire to see the Jews or his home nation saved through the gospel. And of course, he talks about how the Jews had a difficult time receiving Jesus as the Messiah. They had a hard time receiving him as the one that came down from heaven and then, of course, rose again and ascended back to heaven. And then he comes to Romans 10:8, and this is what he says. And of course, I'm reading in the King James, which is an older translation. It's just my personal preference. You might have a newer translation of the Bible. That's just fine. The King James isn't the only good one out there. It's just my preference. So sometimes when the King James uses this old English, sometimes I like to clean it up a little as I read. You know what I mean? Because we don't speak in the these and the thous so much anymore. So if you hear me just kind of use more modern terms as we read, I don't want you to think that I'm taking away something from the Bible, just so you understand. He says, but what saith it, or what does it say? Meaning, what does the Word of God say? The Word is near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess or to speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and if you shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession or speaking is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on Jesus shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Everyone say good things, all right? Notice the gospel is called the gospel of peace, right? Of glad tidings and good things. That's what the preaching of the word is trying to bring into your life. Peace, good things, glad tidings. Aren't you glad? I'll tell you what, some of you need to wake up right now. Some of you are sitting there and just not caring much about it. The measure that you meet, not going to be God's fault. It's not going to be God's fault. Amen. When I say that, Pastor, oh man, you're blasting people. No, I'm trying to help you. You know, one thing I realized when I got saved and got into church, I understood this. I went to college, all right? And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not bring me back there again, no matter what. All right, but I learned this. I when I first started going to church, I thought, you know, when I sat in class, I had to take notes. You know, because I knew the test was coming. You know, I knew that what I was hearing, even though a lot of it, you know, wasn't, you know, not all of it was applicable to my life. Of course, everything we hear in church is. But, you know, I knew that, you know, I needed to write it down. I needed, you know, to, you know, take that seriously. And I realized when I got saved, I'm sitting in church, I'm realizing, my goodness, I took notes for these professors. You know, I sat in church or in class and I paid attention. How much more? Because I know this, the test is coming. All right? And this is how you pass the test even before it shows up. And in a lot of ways, this can prevent a lot of tests. Not all of them, but it can certainly get you through and overcome anything if you'll understand this principle. But God's got a gospel of peace, glad tidings, and good things. Do you want to find out how to get them? All right, go back up to verse 8. Praise the Lord. And let's start with this. What does the word say? First of all, notice in this verse, in the King James, it says, the word is nigh to you. And notice it says, the word of faith. Notice that term word, okay? The word, okay? That literally in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but that's what the New Testament was originally written in. And the Greek language is more in depth than our English language. And sometimes it's good for us to study and to look at those words, all right? And I can look them up in the same concordances as you can. But the term word there, it means, it's the Greek word rhema. And I'm sure many of you have heard that word before, rhema. It means the spoken word of faith. It's not just something you read on a page. It means the spoken word. And you can see that in this verse. You could read it this way. The spoken word is near to you. It's in your mouth. Obviously, a word that's in your mouth is to be spoken, all right? So you can see that definition even in the verse, all right? The spoken word is near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the spoken word of faith that we preach, all right? And so that term, it means a spoken word. It means an utterance. It also means my favorite definition. Are you ready for this? It means a living voice. You can say it this way. The word is, the living voice is near to you. The living voice is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the living voice of faith which we preach. How many of you know the words of faith out of your mouth are a living voice? That means words of life, meaning that words that turn death into life, words that turn darkness into light. Come on now. Glory to God. And you know, and we're going to look at it here in just a moment, you're going to see in verse 9 that spoken word of faith is how you got saved. When you said, you believed in your heart and you said, Jesus is Lord. He did raise from the dead. I believe it. When you said that, a living voice was spoken out of your mouth and it turned your address from hell to heaven. Amen. It turns you from darkness to light. It turns you from unrighteousness to righteousness. It took you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It turns you from an enemy of God into a son or daughter of God. It turns you from being spiritually dead to being born again. Glory to God. You know, think about how amazing this experience of salvation is, and think about how it all changed the moment you had that living voice come out of your mouth. Aren't you glad? All right. So what does this tell us? It says your help is with you right now. Because what is the living voice of faith? It is simply this. Someone who believes in their heart, who speaks out of their mouth, all right, who will speak God's word, who will believe what God said, and do so with sincerity and boldness. Those are two things that will make the voice of faith alive in your life. Are you ready? Sincerity and boldness. If you will first know, listen to this. This is simple, but get a hold of it. If you will know what this says, if you will sincerely receive it into your heart, and Jesus said over there in Matthew 12, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so your heart is filled with this. You know what this says, and you speak it out of your mouth sincerely and boldly. Now, boldness is not just about who can be the loudest. Boldness means with direction and authority and with purpose. All right. For instance, you know, if symptoms are on your body or you're going through a trial, this is what that sincere voice of faith sounds like. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that fear that's trying to get on me. In Jesus' name, I command that sickness to get off my body. That's simply all what it looks like and sounds like if you're sincere about it. And no, you don't have to stand up on the checkout counter of Walmart and say it in front of everybody. It's not you trying to advertise your boldness in your faith, but it's, you know, sincere and it's bold. It's a living voice of faith. And notice this, if the living voice of faith can change your address from hell to heaven, don't you think it could change your body from sick to healed? Don't you think it can change your mind from fear to peace? Glory to God. Yes, it certainly can, because there's no greater promise than the promise of salvation. And if the spoken word out of your mouth brings salvation to you, think about what else it can bring you. Everything under salvation will come just as easy. Oh, well, praise the Lord. So what does that mean? Your help is with you right now. Why? Because you have a heart right now and you have a mouth right now. And that means that your help is possible. That means right now, if you so choose, spiritually speaking, you can absolutely, you know, gain control of your situation at this moment. Listen, that thing that's been nagging you and dogging you, right now, spiritually speaking, you could stand and use that living voice and say, in Jesus' name, this goes no further. Yes. Right now, you could use the living voice to absolutely, you know, stop what the devil is doing in your life. Come on now. Glory to God. You know, so many times, you know, people are saying, you know, why isn't God doing anything? Well, God's looking down at us saying, why aren't you doing anything? There's nothing more that God needs to do. All right, his actions make the living voice possible. But God isn't going to speak for you. You know, how many of you know we're talking about salvation in this passage of Scripture? How many of you know God does not get off his throne, come down to this earth and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you'll be saved, and you'll be saved, and not you, not you, not you, but you will. How many of you know salvation's not random? It's for those that will hear the word of God, believe it, and speak out of their mouth. That's why salvation is not far from every human being as long as they hear the word. The same faith that got you saved is the same faith that you can use for all the promises of the Lord. Amen. All right. So your help is with you right now. Right now, you can get what you need moving towards you. You can receive it by faith. You can put the devil on notice. You can decide right now to walk in victory with the spoken or the living word of faith. Amen. Go to verse 9. It says that if you shall confess, that word confess, it means to speak. But I like this definition of that word confess. In the Greek, it's the word agree. Agree. Are you ready? You can say it this way. That if you shall agree with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will agree in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice this. How many of you know God's plan of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection made salvation possible for every human being? But how many of you know not every human being will be saved? Why? Is it because God doesn't want it? We know that he wants it. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has salvation for everybody, but what does he need? He needs humanity to agree with what he said. God can't do anything in your life, salvation included, until your words agree with him. God's looking for those that will agree with his word. And notice it's not just agree with the heart, but it's speak with the mouth. Oh, now, are you ready for me to make you mad? I'm gonna tick somebody off. Here it comes. If you have a religious mindset, I'm fixing to make you mad. Now, when I say religious, do you know what I mean by religious? Religion is man's idea of approaching God. We're not in a religion. We're in a relationship. A relationship is about, Father, how do you want me to please you? What do you want me to do? And so God says, do my word. Jesus said, if you love me, do my commandments. Simply this, Father, the Heavenly Father says, if you love me, here's my word, do things my way. You know, if you love God, you prefer him over yourself. If you love your spouse, you prefer them over yourself, right? All right. If you love your kids, you whip their bottoms. Oh, don't take that too far. I'm just waking you up a little bit here. All right. But notice this, God cannot do anything until you agree with his word, all right? In religion today, all right, religious people, I'm told you I'm fixing to make somebody mad, all right, they say this all the time, all right? It's all about the heart. As long as their heart is good, that's all that matters. I know, I don't stand it, I don't praise and worship God, but trust me, it's in my heart. You're religious. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he doesn't want it just in your heart, he wants it being spoken out of your mouth. You know, when people say, oh, but they're good-hearted. I know a lot of good-hearted people who are getting dominated by the devil in this life. Oh, man, I'm going to make someone mad at me. Well, it's good-hearted. It's just my personality. I keep it all on the inside. That's just what I am. Well, you know what you are? You're bait for the devil. Because the spoken word of faith, it's not the hidden word of faith. It's the spoken word of faith. People say, well, if it's in my heart, but I just don't have that expression. No, then you're making Jesus out to be a liar. Because Jesus said, if it's in your heart, it's going to be spoken out of your mouth. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, right? You read it. Boy, we should go over there. We should really go over there. Let's go over there. Go real quickly. Praise the Lord. Did I quote it right? Is it 12 or 13? Praise the Lord. I believe it's 12. And if I'm off a chapter, you'll forgive me. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yep. Go on over there. Where is that? Yeah. Matthew 12, 34. Or, you know what? It's really good to start in verse 33. Well, we could actually go all the way up, but we'll just start there in verse 33. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he says this, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You can't say, oh, that's an apple tree if there's never been any apples on it. You can't say something is an orange tree or if it never had oranges growing on it. In the same way, he's going to relate this to your words. You can't say that you're something, but then there's no fruit of the lips. Okay, watch this. Verse 34, Jesus speaking. He says, O generation of vipers. He's talking to the Pharisees now, remind you. All right. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, he's talking to the Pharisees. He said, you don't have the ability to even speak right because your heart's wrong. All right, but if you have the right thing in your heart, see, that's why I'm saying, Jesus says, you can't say something is in your heart and then it doesn't show up on the outside through your voice. All right, verse 35, he says, a good man out of the good treasures of the heart brings forth good things. He's talking about speaking. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, or by your words you shall be condemned. God will judge us based on what we said, right or wrong, or what we did not say, and we should have. So do you see that? And so now we go back over here to Romans 10:9. How many of you know God has to have your agreement with your words if he's going to move his power into your life? Oh, praise the Lord. We must agree. We must agree with our spoken words. Amen. Think about, and I've already mentioned this, think about all that happened the moment you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All right, your sins were washed away. You were born of the Spirit. You moved from death to life. Your address changed from hell to heaven. You were translated out of darkness. You were delivered from fear. You were put in the kingdom of his dear Son. His presence moved on the inside of you. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But naturally speaking, did you feel or see all of that happen? No. Of course you can sense the burden of sin lift from you. You know, of course you can, you know, experience the wonderful relief and the joy of being saved. But I'm saying you didn't see yourself like float over into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know what I mean? There wasn't a physical change, meaning, you know, it wasn't like something you perceived all of that instantly with your flesh. Okay? You knew and understand. You believed all that stuff happened. All right, you heard the word, you believed it, but you didn't see it or feel it, but you just believed in the realm of faith, in the realm of the unseen, things changed when you spoke with the living voice of faith that Jesus is your Lord. Isn't it the same thing when you use the living voice of faith and confess your healing? Can't things start changing in the realm that you can't see or feel? or when fear or depression, can't you speak that living voice of faith and things can be changing in the realm that you don't see? Or against a debt or a need or provision, you can speak with that living voice of faith. But my God shall supply all my needs. Come on now. You know, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Your address is paid in full in Jesus' name. Every need supplied, every debt paid. Can't you speak that way to your financial needs? Yes, you certainly can. You better put the living voice of faith against that situation. Amen. Because God cannot do anything until you're in agreement with him. And notice this, you don't have to feel anything before you say it. You don't have to feel anything before you believe it. That's what faith is. If you had to feel healed, or if you had to see the money, if you had to, physically experience that at the moment, then it wouldn't take faith to believe it. Faith isn't for what you see. Faith is for what you don't see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What about, for your children? Can't you say, my children are mighty seed upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their house, and their righteousness shall endure forever. That's what God said about your kids in Psalm 112, verses 3 and 4. How about Isaiah 54:13? All my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're older, they will not depart from it. Your seed, what it says over there, that children are a heritage of the Lord. All right, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. It says they shall tear down the gates of the enemy, Psalm 127. Can't you say that about your kids? Yeah, amen. But what if it doesn't look like that? What if little Johnny isn't acting like that at the moment? Does that mean it didn't work? No, it's working in the realm where you can't see. The realm of faith. Glory to God. Heaven is moved by your words. Changes start happening. Things occur when you speak. All right. Glory to God. Now go to verse 10, Romans 10:10. It says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, agreement is made unto salvation." All right. Notice, agreement is made to, or unto, or coming to salvation. Notice your words determine the destination. Someone cannot arrive at the blessing of salvation until their words take them there. Come on now, get a hold of that. Your words are going to take you there. Oh boy. Can I be real honest? Can I just be real, just transparent? Folks, first of all, when a pastor preaches, and he's preaching in that office of a pastor, you can sense the people receiving and, getting help and things. And let me just encourage this group here today that there is a large number that are receiving the word of God and getting our help today, all right? And it's going to bring a lot of positive changes in your life. But there's also some that are sitting here, and it hurts to know this, that they're not receiving it, and because of that, they're going to be hurt. There's things like, listen, when you hear the word of God, it's not to entertain or pass the time. There's things that are being said now that are trying to prevent calamity years down the road for you. There's something that God's saying, okay, get a hold of this now and start steering your course. Because your life is like a ship on the sea, and I'm not trying to be poetic here, all right? And again, I'm not, vastly experienced, but I did have a captain's license for, charter boats and things like that, and I sailed a few hundred miles. You know, in the Bahamas that got absolutely decimated, by this hurricane? I was really sad to see that because I've been there. And it was such a beautiful place and an amazing group of people. And we just believe that they'll rebuild and everything. But I was in that exact place over there on Grand Bahama that was absolutely wiped off the map. you know, and everything. And praise the Lord, God's going to help them and so on. But when I sailed over there, it was a couple hundred miles or whatever, you know, on the ocean. And, you know, when you're at the watch, when you're standing at the helm, you got to watch your compass. Because it's, you can't just look at it and say, yeah, it's 5 degrees off, 10 degrees off. It don't matter. It's close. No, you don't do that. Because over the course, that boat is moving slow. Somewhere, you know, a sailboat is moving 7 or 8 knots. It's not going fast. But over a course of that time, all of a sudden you'll find yourself, you know, miles from where you were supposed to be. And it's the course way back there that needs to be set to prevent a missed opportunity in the future. That's what this message is. God's going back. He's saying, get a hold of this now because I see this coming way up here. And your mouth and your words start turning your ship. You know? Do you know the scripture even says that? Can you bring up James 3:1? Wasn't planning on going there. James 3:1. Getting a different message here today than I preached last night. I don't ever just try to regurgitate the same things. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Go with me to verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word or speaking, the same is also a perfect man. That means a mature man. Someone that can control his words. And he's able also to bridle the whole body. See, your mouth, your words are the direction of your life. Look at verse 3. And I'm not much of a horse guy. I'm a motorcycle guy because I'm the only brain on that thing when it's a motorcycle. All right, but I've ridden horses, and I'll be honest, it spooks me a little. You know, you get on that thing, and you're on this 1,200-pound animal that could just, well, anyway, praise the Lord. I love horses. I was over there with my neighbor. My neighbor has horses. I walked into her barn the other day, and this three horses just came right up to me, and two of them draped their heads right over my shoulders. And I was like, hey, buddies, that's great. And my neighbor's like, well, that one can be a little temperamental. Watch out. I was like, oh, he's great. Good boy, good boy. And all of a sudden, he bit my shoulder. Like, ouch. She said, you know, she's like, I told you. I'm like, he was being so nice. He just took his front teeth and he got right a hold of my clavicle, you know, and it felt like if he would have really wanted to, he could have shattered that bone in his mouth. It was just like, ouch. And he was just letting me know that he was, you know, a lot bigger than me, you know. So anyway, it says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Think about that powerful animal, all right? It's controlled by a little piece of steel about 8 inches long that goes in their mouth and it's connected to those reins. Think about it. He said, that powerful animal is controlled by the mouth, all right? Think of this, verse 4. This is where I was talking, verse 4. Praise the Lord. There we go. Behold also the ships. See, now my illustration is actually biblical. Which thought that though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm wheresoever the governor or the captain wants to go. All right, that huge ship is steered with a small rudder. The Bible is saying your mouth, your words, is that rudder. It turns your whole life. Watch verse 5. Even so, if I'm not mistaken, even so, the tongue is a little body part, and it boasts great things. Watch this. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Literally, it says, behold what a great fire little sparks can start. Your mouth and your words are like little sparks that go over your life. Think about when you're talking doubt and unbelief. Think about when you're talking negative. Oh, I'm always the first to get sick. I'm never going to make that. We can't afford that. That's not going to happen. This is that. I never get treated fairly. I can't do that. You know, all this stuff, when you talk like that, you are spraying your life down with sparks. And somewhere a fire is going to start. And God will not be blamed. It was not his words that started that fire. It was your words that started that fire. And so, going back to what the Spirit was having me say a few moments ago, God knows that there's something up here in your future. And some people are passing this off. And God's trying to get them steer. No, you need to start steering over here. Get back on course. Get back on course. Get your words straight. Praise the Lord. I've delivered the message. It'll be up to you. So we're back over here now in Romans 10:10. This is the life of faith. All right? Believing with our hearts, agreeing with our words, and we can't just say everything is in the heart. If you just keep it all in here and you have no purpose with your words or your faith, I'm going to tell you, you're going to miss what God has for your life. All right? You can't just hear this message and say, oh, that was, you know, fun and fine. I'll tell you what, you have to set some purpose with your words. Let me, notice it says that that governor over there, you were over there in James 3, verses 4 and 5 with the ships. The word governor there means captain. The captain wants to go a certain direction, all right? Notice that course and setting that course was up to him. Now, of course, we know God has a plan for our lives, but steering into that course is up to you. If you're going a direction that you know you shouldn't go, you can correct it with the words of your mouth. You can get back on course right now. Praise the Lord. There's good people all over the place getting destroyed in this life because their words are wrong. Oh, praise the Lord. See, with the mouth, agreement is made. Notice what I was saying. With the mouth, agreement is made unto the destination. All right, a person spoke themselves. They believed in their heart. They spoke themselves into salvation. All right. Every other promise of God works the same way. Let me show you something. See that word salvation? Everyone say salvation. Salvation. All right. That word, when we think of it, we think it means a difference between heaven and hell. And yes, it does. First and foremost, salvation is the salvation of our sins. Aren't you glad? All right. But that word, again, in the Greek, are you ready? It's the same word used in the Bible for health, for healing. I like this. Preservation. Security and deliverance. All right, I'll say that again. It means salvation, it means health, it means healing, it means preservation, it means security, all right, and it means deliverance. You want to see, and agreement is made unto salvation, agreement is spoken unto healing. Agreement is spoken unto security and safety. Agreement is spoken unto deliverance. Do you know where the greatest deliverance ministry in your life is right now? It's with you. Thank God for ministers. Thank God for the laying on of hands. Thank God for, you know, ministries that, you know, can give you a jump start and break some things off your life. But you know the greatest avenue of you know, getting free, whether it is an addiction or, you know, a troubled marriage or whatever it is, that deliverance ministry is in your life. It is in your mouth. It is with you right now. You are your greatest deliverance minister. Oh, but Pastor, I just go to all these services and I get into the prayer line over here and I call the prayer line over here and I go to this and I go to that and I'm just trying to get free. See, that's the problem. You're trying to get what you already are. You know, God isn't giving you those things just for you to live on. Those things are supplements. The main meal should be spoken out of your mouth. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Your mouth and the agreement that you speak with God's word will determine the destination or the course for your life. Or you could say it this way, where you end up at. Confession or agreement is made unto health, security, deliverance, safety, preservation. Amen. So the spoken word is near you for healing. The spoken word is near you for deliverance. For security, prosperity, anything. Freedom from fear. It's right there. It's with you. Amen. You could say it this way. Our lives, now listen to this. Our lives are the sum of how much our words are in agreement with God. Our lives are the sum of how much we speak in agreement with God. That's absolutely it. Nothing more, nothing less. Praise the Lord. All right. Go with me real quick. There was something I was going to show you, but we were led in different directions. And now we're going to go straight to this. Go to Proverbs 18. You know that this is a verse I quote around here all the time. And there's many, many verses in the Bible just like it. But this is the one we're gonna focus on here as we get ready to close. You know, I noticed on our picnic announcement on our overhead slide, it said the picnic was at 12 p.m. next week. I'm starting to think my staff is trying to tell me something. But if we were wagering people, which we're not, I wouldn't bet on it. Praise the Lord. But the food will be good. Yes. Yep. We don't go that over noon, but we do go over noon. Glory to God. Proverbs 18:21. Are you there? Proverbs 18:21. All right. Death and life are in the thoughts and the heart of the man. Oh, wait, am I reading it wrong? See, a lot of you caught me. I'm glad because some wouldn't have caught me. Death and life. All right. Remember what Peter said? If you want to love life and see good days, refrain your tongue. Speak no evil. Right? In your mouth that speaks no guile. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's a verse right now playing on the inside of me. I believe it's Proverbs 15:4 in the Amplified. Can we find that? Proverbs 15:4 in the Amplified. A gentle tongue with its healing power. Isn't that interesting? That all of a sudden just started playing on the inside. You know why? Because I've been there before. Meaning I'd been in that scripture before, meditating on that in the Amplified. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. How many of you want to eat off the tree of life? Okay, half of you. Folks, I know, I prod you to get involved. Folks, know this. Here we go. Behind the scenes, transparency. I'm one of those people that don't want to be prodded to do anything. I'll be honest. Like when I'm in services and ministers say, turn to your neighbor and say this, I don't. I don't. All right, so that you'll notice I don't have you turn to your neighbor or, they do other things. My thing obviously is, who wants to, lifting hands? I understand, how we have personalities where we don't like to be responsive. But again, it's to put a little giddy up in your step. It's just to get you moving into some spiritual things that God has for you. A pastor is a shepherd. And one of the shepherd's tools is the goad. It's the rod with a sharp point on it. And the goad wasn't to hurt anything. It was just to give him a little poke. Hey, get going. Like the spurs. I think I'd like the cowboy illustration a little better. The spurs on your boots, and again, I'm not a horse guy, but, I've never worn them, by the way. But you remember those? Remember the spurs? The cowboys would come, not that I was alive then, but you know what I mean? You remember the movies or the shows or the cartoons, and they'd walk in and their spurs would be, jingling and jing, jing, jing. Remember that? And they'd be on the back of their boots so they could get that horse going a little bit. They'd just give that horse a little nudge. That's all I'm doing is because I'm just trying to help you. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. See, I want you eating off that tree. But willful contrariness. What is contrariness? Not agreeing. I don't agree with that. I don't say that. I don't speak this. We can't do this. This won't ever happen. We always fail. We're never going to make it. We can't afford that. We won't make it. well, I won't be healed. I'll be the first to get the, I mean, all the stuff that people say. I'm sick and tired of this. I hate my job. I hate my life. I hate this. See, you speak like that, and that is your life that is, or we should say this, is the death or the destruction that surrounds our life. All right, but in your tongue, there is healing power, a tree of life, but willful contrariness or negativity, it breaks down the spirit. Notice, your spiritual health can be destroyed with your own words. You know, if you're frustrated and, you know, busted and disgusted in this life, I'll tell you what, it's your words. It's your words. It's your negativity. Ah, believe me, I'm not preaching this just to you. I'm preaching it for me. Go back over to Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of their words, is what the verse is telling us. Notice, your words are seeds, and they go out and they produce. They make things grow, good or bad. Good or bad. You're just walking in the harvest of things that you said weeks ago, months ago, years ago. Think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right? And let's get ready to conclude with this. I'm going to give you some words to be careful with. Careful with these choice words. Now, you think that, you know, I'm going to mention words like the F word. What? Faith. The faith word. What's wrong with... No, I'm not here to talk about... I'm not here to talk about profanity. If you can still speak, you know, if you're a born-again believer and you've been around the things of God long enough and you still think it's okay to use four-letter profanity, all right, you should at least be grown up beyond that, okay? Praise the Lord. Oh, you should have seen your faith come, or your eyes come alive when I said faith. Well, anyway. Words to be careful with. Are you ready? Yes. Number one word to be careful with is the word can't. Contraction for cannot. All right. The elementary school teacher is coming out of me. I had to teach contractions, but we say it can't. All right. For example, you know, I just can't get rid of this pain in my body. We just can't afford that. We just can't make it. We just can't seem to get by this. I just can't forgive them for what they've done. Can't. You know, I can't stand my job. I can't ever get a, I can't, you know, get a promotion. I can't. See, can't is not in God's vocabulary. Now, when I say that, let's be reasonable. All right, it's not wrong to say, you know, you can't run across a busy road in traffic. That's unwise to do so. We're talking about when God says you can. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Glory to God. You know, but so many times, oh, I could never have a job like that. Why? Why not? Oh, I have, you know, I can't increase my income. I can't get rid of this sickness in my body. I can't forgive them for what they've done. Can't. See, now God can't go beyond your can't. Can't. Number one word to be careful with. Are you ready for the second one? Won't. Or contraction for will not. My kids just won't listen to me. My boss just won't notice me. This just won't happen. You better be careful how you use that word won't. Again, this verse is playing on the inside of me, and I got to go find it. I believe it's over there in the Gospel of John. We got to find this because Jesus says something different. I believe it's near John 14. Praise the Lord. Yeah. John 14:14. This is your answer to won't or can't. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will. I will do it. Literally, you know what? I read, of course, many of you have heard this before. I don't remember his name, but I just remember Kenneth Hagin talking about it. A Bible scholar, you know, who studies the Greek language is saying that there is no greater assertion in the Greek language than what Jesus used in this verse. You know, he said, literally, he doesn't say, I will. Like, we say it in our culture, like, oh, I'll do that. You know, and with people, sometimes they don't mean it. It means, literally, he said, I shall do it. He puts the greatest emphasis and assertion on that point there. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will. I will. And so why pray for something if you don't believe that he will? Time does not permit us. One thing I was going to go show you is over in Luke chapter 1. And if you want to read about it, it's from the verses 12 through 20. Remember Zacharias? Remember the dad of John the Baptist? Remember how Gabriel, the angel, showed up to him and said, Zacharias, I have come for your prayers that you've been asking for a son, and your wife Elizabeth is barren. He says, the Lord is going to give you a son, and he'll be great among his people. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers of Israel back to God. Remember that? Remember that? And remember what Zacharias made the mistake of doing? He had been praying for that. An angel comes and stands before him, and then he looks at the angel and says, how will I know that that's going to happen? Now, we better not criticize Zacharias, because we could be there very easily ourselves, all right? He was praying for something, but he didn't truly believe that it was going to happen, because he said, I need proof. I need proof. And remember what the angel said? He said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Basically, you shouldn't say such things. And he smote Zacharias, so he could not speak for 10 months. God was unpleased. Or displeased with Zacharias and how he spoke. If you're praying and asking in the name of Jesus, he said, I will. So don't you act like he won't. Because I won't is not permitted in the presence of God.
Oh, it won't happen. Oh, I know I'm up for that job. I probably won't get it.
I always say this, if people, you know, they apply for something that doesn't happen for them, I just say something's better for you then. Meaning there's something, God's got something even better for you.
Oh, I won't be able to make that. I won't be able to do that. I can't do that. I won't do this.
Okay, third word that you got to watch out how you use. Are you ready? Always. Always. And you've heard me say this in terms of marriage. Spouses will speak to each other like this. You always do this. You always forget me. You always put yourself first. You always leave your stuff around. You always. Now, my wife does not speak to me like that. Let's be clear. I know you're laughing like he's just saying that to protect himself. No, I'm serious. She does not talk to me like that. And I'd like to believe I don't talk to her like that. Now, I mean, you know, over the course of 16, you know, years of marriage, you know, has that ever happened? I'm sure. At least I'll point on my, I'm sure I've said that before. I don't know, but I would be a fool to stand up here and act like I've always, you know, talked perfect to my wife all the time, all right? But you see how people, you know, speak that way in their marriages. You always do this. You always. And all people do that with their lives, too. My back is always hurting. My boss is always yelling. Always. You know, I'm always the first to get sick. I'm always. See, we use our exaggeration with that word. You better be careful how you use that word always, because when God says, he said, every idle word that men speak shall be held in the day of judgment. You say that something is always, do you really want that always? Do you want your spouse to really be like that always? My kids always misbehave. My kids aren't. Do you want them to always be like that? You better be careful how you use the word always. And of course, the other side of that, the fourth word you got to watch out for is never. You're never nice to me. My family never said, they never send me a card. They never remind me or remember my birthday. Well, who cares? Why be so touchy? You know, my boss never thinks of me. They never give me a promotion. I'm never going to get out of this job. I'm never going to get out of this town. I'm never going to get out of this situation. Well, don't leave this town. There's something good here. You're a church family. But, you know, people just speak that. I'm never going to get out of this situation. Your negativity, how you're using can't, won't, always, and never is going to absolutely hold you in a bad, bad place. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. I love this. I believe it's over there in Isaiah 57:19. God says, I create the fruit of your lips. He said over there in Numbers 14 to the Israelites, he says, so have you spoken in my ear, that's what I'll do. Right? Proverbs 16, I believe it's 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health or strength to the bones. What you say will affect your mental health. It'll affect your physical health. More importantly, it'll affect your spiritual health. It'll divide you from the blessing of God. It'll take you off course. It'll take you to a place that you do not want to be. And so when you leave this service today, there's going to be times you're going to hear yourself, you'll all of a sudden hear the word can't, and you'll be like, oh, and you'll refrain yourself. Or you're about to use the word won't, and you'll be like, oh. You know, or you'll start to use the word always or never, and you'll catch yourself. See, that's what Peter was talking about. If you're going to love life and see good days, refrain your tongue. You know, what did David say? He says, I've set a watch over my lips that I sin not against God. He said, I put a guard, a watchman. You know, he's using a metaphor, obviously. He's like, I guarded what I said very carefully because I understood what I say is what I'm going to get. Did you get something out of this here? Death and life. And so I say this because you know what? The ability to start walking in victory, it's with you right now. The ability to put the devil on notice is your ability right now. The ability to live from the tree of life in the tongue with its healing power is with you right now. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know why I am being prompted to say this, meaning I know who's prompting me to say it, but, you know, you'll have to, this will be for you. Don't ever look at your children and call them a bad boy or a bad girl. Hey, bad boy. As a, you know, a little kid or something like that. Don't do that. Don't you do that. You don't ever call your kids bad. Kids are called a blessing of the Lord. Listen, I'm not saying don't discipline them. Listen, your kid needs to be corrected. You correct them rightfully so. All right? And I mean calm, not in a fit of rage or out of frustration. All right? But you don't lose control of your words and start calling them bad. Don't call your child a bad kid. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to have? Is that how you want them to be raised? You know, praise the Lord. And of course, kids are going to, you know, act in foolishness. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. All right? But you need to be saying stuff. You know, every single day, my wife and I, we speak over our boys and we say, you live long on this earth and turn many from iniquity. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I say of my wife every day, she is strengthened by the Holy Ghost to her spirit. Amen. And boy, we have seen that come to pass. Amen. And how God uses her. And so, folks, let's get back to this principle and understand that it's foundational. It is how you got saved, but it is how you are to continue to live. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, we thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you that we are setting our course for the future. Father, we know that you are trying to compel us to get on that right course so that we end up in the destination that you have for us. If salvation works this way, the greatest blessing, Father, your greatest offering, the greatest offering that anyone, anywhere could ever imagine, that you gave Jesus your son. And Father, if salvation works that way, how much more the rest of the promises of God? And so, Lord, we understand we got to watch our words. Lord Jesus, you said that every idle word that men shall speak shall be held to the day of judgment. For by our words we'll be justified, or by our words we'll be condemned. Lord, that puts a healthy reminder in us all. A certain kind of righteous fear. And Father, we don't mean fear in a negative sense. I guess what we're saying is it makes us sober to think about how we talk. Oh, Father. Lord, I've seen many lives hurt and destroyed because of the way they talk. And Father, I just say this, not in this place, not with these wonderful people. And Father,